Thank you, Ramon. Mary, I'll give this back. There was a moment when Ramon was praying right at the beginning where I realized I was deeply encouraged that the Spirit of God is alive in the well of both my preparation, my time, thinking about this morning, as well as Ramon in his prayer time, what he led us to believe, and I'll explain that in just a moment. That'll make sense in just a second. Just a couple family matters. We need to say a happy anniversary to Miss Annette, Mr. Jack, 12 years today. 12 years today. So, yeah. So, happy anniversary, you guys. I don't see Code Man, Mr. Cody, here, but he's around someplace. He probably will be here at some point, or he's going to be in hot water. So he's someplace. But anyway, I needed to let, I wanted to thank him for his ministry last week. He spoke last week. The backstory to that is that he and I were going to share that message 50-50. But then as my dad started to digress, have his challenges, hospitalized on Wednesday, that kind of thing, and the what was going on in him on Thursday, I realized my bandwidth emotionally, time-wise, everything was just going like this. And so it went from 50% to about 99% to Cody carrying that message as of like Thursday of last week. And so I just really appreciated him taking care of that. And greatly appreciate that. Something else just crossed my mind, but I'll get back to that in just a second. Just an update on my dad. I appreciate you guys praying. I haven't done as good a job keeping some of you guys up to date on that. But a week ago last Wednesday, he was hospitalized, and not sure what was going on. Thought possible stroke with some of the really radical changes in him. Come to find out, it wasn't a stroke. It is a pretty rapid onset of some significant changes related to dementia. And so it's been a pretty radical change in Dad, and it's been pretty impactful on us emotionally and all sorts of ways. So he's actually at Heritage Hall right now, which is assisted living or a skilled nursing facility in Leesburg. But thankfully, bed is opening up for him back at Maple Grove, which is where he's supposed to be. It's kind of the extended care at Ashby Pond. So hopefully he'll be in there on Wednesday, Tuesday. Bed's supposed to open up. So keep praying for him, praying for Mom. Certainly appreciate all that. Good, I just remembered what I wanted to. We're going to have a psychologist come and check out both Kate and Dean and Cody, because there's a level of insanity that we've seen in them that they stayed up all night with our students on Friday night. And so we just need to say thank you, Dean. Kate is back there someplace. She's around. Yeah. And Cody, too. So thank you, guys. That was no small thing. And we showed up kind of at the tail end of that, and it was just fun to see the kids and all that was going on with them. So, all right, I got a picture to start us off with this morning. First one, Joel. Anybody recognize those guys? Your spirituality is being judged right now on how well you know, especially the man on the right. Anybody recognize him? Hank Aaron. Yeah. Hank Aaron, one of the greatest home run hitters of all time in baseball. Tremendous man. The man on the left is my pitching coach at Huntington College. I was here this evening. We brought Hank Aaron in as a fundraiser my senior year at Huntington, and it was a fantastic evening. But Tom Roy, my pitching coach, had a line, a saying that he would regularly scream sometimes or say at the beginning of most every practice. If we were away on like our spring trip or any sort of trips we take, he would say it. And it was this: "It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be alive." And he would let that set for just a second. And then he would say, "Because God's in control." See, if you don't match those two together, "It's a great day to be alive" just becomes pop psychology. Let's just drum it up. It's a great day to be alive. And it's shallow. But when you couple that, it's a great day to be alive, because Tom Roy is a deep man in the Lord. He loves the Lord. He loves the Word. And he knows he needed to couple that phrase with the truth that it's the only reason it's a great day to be alive is because God is in control. But then every now and then on rainy mornings, rainy days, when we did not want to be out there, he would say, it's a great day for ducks. That's the first time I ever remember hearing that phrase and putting that together. Oh yeah, it is a great day for ducks. But it is a great day to be alive because God is in control. And looking back on those experiences with Coach Roy in those days when he would yell that and scream that and say that to us before a practice, I realized God was beginning to teach me then about this word, tehillah. He was beginning to teach me then, little did I know what he was doing when he was teaching me about this Hebrew word for praise, tehillah. Because Coach Roy was modeling that. He was teaching us what tehillah is all about. So we're in this series, Holy Roar. And little did I know that when Coach Roy was saying those things, how important that teaching would be to me today. And when Shelley handed me a book, I don't know how long ago, and entitled Holy Roar, and she just said, this is our next series, little did I know then how significant that series would be to me today. And what I'm confident is because this is of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, this is true for you. That when you look back on this series and what God is speaking to you and us about every single Sunday, you can no doubt say with me, I had no idea that this would be this important to me today. We're going to focus on that. So we're asking God to deepen our collective understanding and experience of praise. This is a group thing. God is doing this in our midst together. And deepening means that God is changing us. He is growing us. That means we are not staying the same. If I am the same after this series, something's not right. If you are the same after this series, something's not right. Because none of us are praising God to the fullest extent that we can. He is shaping us. He's growing us. He's teaching us how to praise Him more, better, differently. And that's why I'm so thankful for this series. Seven different words. We're on the sixth one today. Mike is covering the next one next week. And you don't want to miss that, by the way. I'm looking forward to this in a big way, not to set Micah up too much, but I am looking forward to Micah covering the next word next week. But this week is tehillah. Tehillah. It's a word for praise, often translated praise in the Hebrew Old Testament. But what does it mean? What does tehillah mean? As you know, when these words are translated, they get translated praise. But what this lesson, the series is teaching us, is that they have nuances. And one of the nuances of tehillah is that this is a new song. That some of the songs that we sing and the praises that we bring before our God, tehillah reminds us that they are new. Here's the definition of new. Recently come into existence and not existing before for the first time. And that's what God does when we tehillah Him. These practice of praise, these songs that we do, can become new, even if we have sung them all of our lives. They can become new for today. Tehillah, new, never existing before. For the first time, God can do some new things in us because of this praise that we offer Him, tehillah praise. So Psalm 40, 1-3 is an example of this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on a rock. And He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise, tehillah, to our God. Tehillah praise is new. It's new because it's never happened before. It's fresh. Let's go over this one more time. I waited patiently. Ask God to help you enter this scripture, this newness, that you too understand. You know what it means to wait for the Lord. Sometimes he gives us the ability to wait patiently. You know what it means for him to turn to you. We pray that every single Sunday, in a sense that you sense this in a fresh way, that this worship, that God is turning to you. He is hearing your cry, yours, as a kid of his, as his child. He is hearing that. He is lifting you out of a slimy pit. He is lifting you out of mud and mire, of discouragement, depression, of frustration, of anger. And he is setting our feet on a rock and giving us a firm place to stand. And he is putting new songs in our mind, in our heart, in our spirits. So when we sing this morning these songs, ask God to help his spirit make these new to you, fresh, in a way that you've never had before. This is important for us, because every single one of our days is a new day. We've never lived this day before. This day has new challenges to it. This day has new opportunities to it. This day has new ways for us to know and hear from God that maybe we've never, ever had before. This is what's going on with me personally today. When I sing these songs this morning, they will be new because I've never sung them before with my dad dealing with dementia. This is a new context for me. These words are going to be fresh and new because I've never sung them in this context before. And that's true for you. You're going to be singing these words in brand new context. You too have new challenges. This is my cup. This is our cup. You have your cups with new challenges, new opportunities to either trust God or not. So these songs this morning can be brand new, brand spanking new, because the Spirit of God can do that. So here's the connection with prayer. When I was thinking about this and praying about the last few days, I thought, how can God do this? How can God help these songs become brand new in the middle of whatever circumstances we're walking through? And I realize he can, because he is creator. That came to my mind 2-3 days ago, so I found it very interesting and I think important that the Spirit of God prompted Rahman to call us to God's creative ability this morning. That was the unique attribute of God that the Spirit of God prompted Rahman to open our prayer time with. If you've come in just a bit after that, he began to thank God that he is creator. Very same thoughts going in him that happened to me. When we think of God as creator, keep in mind that he is a creator out of nothing. This is repeating Rahman. Ex nihilo is the idea. Out of nothing, God can create. So no matter if you're looking at your circumstances today and you see nothing of how to praise God, God goes, I've seen this before. I can handle this. I can create out of nothing praise in your heart for the circumstances of your day. But it is, and Rahman called us to this, do we believe that? Are we counting on God to do that? Or are we listing all the reasons why that's not going to happen in our experience today? And we have disbelief. And we're thinking, God, no, not in my life. I'm going to hold on to this anger. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. I'm going to hold on to this perspective. I'm going to. And some of this, I say this lightly, because it is, I don't say that hard or harshly, because some of these circumstances that we're wrestling through are hard and difficult. So I don't say it lightly, because I was not feeling it last night. I was having a major pity party just last evening. Things with visiting dad, mom, and getting home extended way beyond what I was thinking of, and I was way more tired than I thought last night. And I was having a great pity party. I was feeling sorry for myself, giving all kinds of excuses for thoughts that just were not right. And then God reminded me over the course of last night, not last night, I didn't go to bed in a good place, but this morning, as his word started coming into my head, he reminded me that he is creator and he can create, and he's doing that. New things. The other aspect of God's creative ability is found in Genesis 1, out of nothing, but then in Genesis 2, his creative ability is in the Hebrew word formed, when he formed Adam. That's from dust. It's a different word, but it's still the same creative power of God. And when he formed Adam, created him out of dust. So you might look out on your experiences or your today and you see nothing of God's power. He can do that. But you might look out on your day to day and all you see is dust. You see stuff, but it's not good. It's very discouraging. It's just dust. It's dirt. Red clay. That's all you see. And God can shape that and form praise out of the dust and the red clay of our lives and what we look at. He can do that because he is creator God. So I think that that's worth, when the Spirit of God, friends, I think in the charismatic Pentecostal movement, brings something pretty important to our experience, they call that a double affirmation. I've heard that used before, and I think there's something to that. So when the Spirit of God prompts things from two different ways, I think there's something that he wants for us to meditate a second or third or fourth time about what does it mean that God is creator in your life and in your experience. He can do some amazing things out of nothing or out of dust. So I exhort you, take some time, carve out time, meditate on that. Think about what does that impact, how does God want that to impact you, your circumstances today. So that's what tehila means. It can mean new. So when does it take place, though? When does tehila take place? Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will extol the Lord. When does this take place? At, You got to get in there. This is good. He's got the introduction there. But I will extol the Lord at what? All times. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And then in Psalm 71, verse 8, tehila again. My mouth is filled with your tehila, with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. This is where some of the commentators, the book, if you've read the book, you've read this chapter this week, this is where that word spontaneous comes from. That means no matter what happens in our day, all day long, no matter what comes our way, God can spontaneously bring praise to our lips. In Psalm 71:8, my mouth is filled with your praise. If you read the message, if you like that paraphrase translation kind of thing, Eugene Peterson uses the word brim. My mouth brims with your praise. That's a pretty significant image. Think of a container being filled with fluid, and then you get to the top, and then it just begins to brim over and pour out. That's what the Spirit of God can do in you and me. No matter what comes in our day, our mouths can brim over with praise. Again, it's praise in who God is. We can praise him because he's creator. He is good. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He is just. He is loving. That's what we can praise God for. No matter what the circumstances are, we can praise him for who he is. So spontaneous means this: occurring as a result of a sudden inner impulse or inclination without premeditation. Spontaneous. Occurring as a result of a sudden inner impulse, inclination, without premeditation. So, putting this with tehila, praise can occur as a result of a sudden inner impulse or an inclination without premeditation. That praise can be that spontaneous response in us through our day. The word that came to my mind, similar to spontaneous, is default. We think about this all the time, this default setting. And what did I had to look up default because I needed to look it up. And here it is. Reverting automatically to a usual standard or a pre-selected option. So think about this. Praise can be that pre-selected option. Praise can be our default mode. That's what we can default to. Whenever a circumstance hits, whatever circumstance comes our way, we can default to praise. And often that praise in those situations is not something always emotionally driven. In fact, our praise, the words of our mouth, might be directly contradicting our emotions because we are speaking who the truth of God is. And then our emotions often follow. That's what it means to praise, to have a spontaneous response, a default response of praise, pre-select option. That registered with me. 2 years ago today, 2 years ago today, February 18th, Cindy and I were sitting at La Madeleine in Reston, Virginia, and we had just came from a report that Dr. Garg had gotten all of her uterine cancer. So we were sitting down La Madeleine's today, 2 years ago, rejoicing with that. But I remember distinctly Cindy looking at me across that table and having Tahila praise. Because she said this, you know what? It'll come. We would have said the same words if we didn't get this same news. We were thankful for God, His sovereignty, His power, His grace, and we were thankful for the good report from Dr. Gard. But Cindy's Tahila praise, her spontaneous reaction, her default reaction to that news was, you know what? We would have said those same words if the news would have been dramatically different. That was spontaneous praise. It didn't have melody, didn't have harmony, but it had lyric. It had words. And that was praise to God in that spontaneous moment that we didn't know. We had no way of preparing for that one way or the other. So it's spontaneous. It's new. But how does God work this in us? How does God work this response, this praise? Psalm 119, 171, there's a cause and effect. This Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God and His precepts and His order and His Word and His truth. So 171 says this, my lips overflow with tehila, praise, but notice the cause and effect. For you teach me what? Your decrees. Where does tehila praise come from? The Word of God. You see that correlation, that cause and effect? My lips overflow with tehila praise because you've taught me your decrees. The decrees, the Word, the truth of God sown in our lives is what God uses to prompt this, what sometimes looks like spontaneity, when all along it's something that's been in there for a long, long time and it just is showing up in a brand new day, a brand new circumstance. And God uses His Word to bring about tehila, spontaneous praise. So how else does this, moving on. Three examples. We have Jonah 2. Do you remember the story of Jonah, the prophet? Disobeying God, ran from God. God said, "I'm you can't run from me." Throw him overboard. He goes into the belly of a fish. And Jonah 2, the Lord, last of verse 1, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And from inside the fish, just let that. Inside, you're inside a fish stomach. Try to imagine that. Let your imagination go. What's around you? What are you feeling? Yeah. You're in the inside of a fish, and this is what Jonah prayed. So we have Jonah 2. I'm not going to read Jonah 2. What I'm going to read is the middle column of my Bible. Because what the middle column of my Bible reminds me of is when I go through all these words of Jonah coming out in the stomach of a fish, they're coming from Psalm 18, from Psalm 120, from Psalm 88, from Psalm 42, from Psalm 31, Psalm 69, Psalm 77, Psalm 11, Psalm 18, Psalm 50, Psalm 3. That's where all that's coming from. All those words from Jonah, all those spontaneous words in the belly of a fish, they had been sown into him for years. As a good Hebrew boy, he knew the Psalms. And so when he was in the belly of the fish, what came out of him spontaneously was the Word of God. The Hebrew Scriptures, the truth of who God is. That's what Jonah 2 was all about. Remember Jesus on the cross? Jesus is another example. Jonah's one example. Jesus is another one. We, on Good Friday, will often do a series, and probably again this year, on the seven last words of Christ on the cross and what he said on the cross while nails were in his wrist, while nails were in his ankles, while his back was bare, while he was breathing, trying to intake air, and his back was scraping on the rough wood of the cross. We think about what comes out of Jesus. Do you remember one of those phrases? He says, "Into your hands, I commit my spirit." Joel, could you put up Psalm 31:5? Where did that come from in Jesus? It was, to a degree, spontaneous, yes, on the cross. But this had been sown in him for years. This was from Psalms. "Into your hands I commit my spirit, Father," was the Word of God that had been sown in Jesus, and it was coming out. We have a picture here. In 1978... the same coach that I mentioned earlier, Tom Roy, told me about a ministry called Sports Ambassadors. I see Zach laughing at this moment. Yes, that is that young man on the right, pre-gray, pre-glasses, yes. Zach's getting too much of a kick out of this morning, I can see. Tom Roll told me about this ministry called Sports Ambassadors, where you could go play baseball and share people about Christ. So in between my junior and senior years in college, I got to go to the Philippines and play baseball. And we got to share the gospel through as we played these games and stuff. It's fantastic. But one night, we got back to the Admiral Hotel on Rojas Boulevard in Manila, and I get a telegram. Remember those back in the day? Anybody experience a telegram? This is way before email, text, and all that sort of stuff. I got a telegram, and it was from my dad, and it just said, Pop-Pop has gone home to be with the Lord. Pop-Pop was my mom's dad and loved him. And so I get this in Manila, and Pop-Pop had died, and I didn't have, my initial response wasn't so good. This is my journal from that day, Manila, June 5, 1978, clear and beautiful, Manila. "Well, this is a day I won't forget for a while. Hearing of Pop-Pop was strange at first. I was really angry at being here, not with Mom and Nanny. But then the Lord started reassuring me of his purposes for me here. I shared with Juanita on my time at the bay." That time at the bay was, I got the telegram, and I walked across Rojas Boulevard, and at that point in time, I understand they've changed it now, but Manila Bay came right up to Rojas Boulevard, and there was a storm wall. And I laid on that storm wall and cried. I was angry, cried. First time I remember that I found out that if you cry on your back, the tears go in your ear. I can remember that distinctly. I'd never experienced that before. Tears are running down my eyes into my ears. And I was angry, cried. But what happened in the course of that time is somehow I remembered Luke 9. I went back to my room and I found Luke 9. Couldn't remember where exactly. But I remember the words of Jesus saying, basically, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. I had put my hand to the plow, I heard God telling me, by being on this trip. And he was saying, trust me. Don't look back. Don't second guess my timing with you being on this trip. That was to heal a praise. That was spontaneous to that circumstance. The word of God had been sown in me for years, and it was coming forth in that time. Luke 9 was in there somewhere deep in it, and it came out at that point in time. To heal a praise, it's new every single day. It's spontaneous, and he works it in us by his word. But he also works it in us by his spirit. In Psalm 60, in Isaiah 61, this is the prophet Isaiah, he says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of tehillah, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God works to heal a praise in us, not only by his word, but by the power of his spirit. And the spirit of God can come over us, and it can prompt to heal a praise. And it can give us a garment of praise right in the midst of our despair. Right in the midst when we are feeling down, discouraged, depressed, despair. God's Spirit can work to heal a praise. It's not something that we have to try to drum up. It's something that the Spirit of God brings up, and he uses the Word of God to do that. So what does this mean for you and for me? Some practical things. Keep sowing the word of God in your life. Keep just reading it, studying it, memorizing. If you don't have regular patterns of getting into the word of God and just reading it, thinking about it, change whatever patterns you need to do to get the word of God in you. And then parents, keep sowing it in your kids. Just getting them in places where they hear the word of God. Because you know those seeds, when they go in, they're going to bear fruit. Some parents look at some pretty stark ground in their kids' lives, and it's hard. And hope comes when we realize that there are good seeds in there. And one day those seeds, Lord willing, will bear some fruit. So this is a day of hope, because you might be looking out on some things, situations that do not look good at all. And God can work to heal a praise. I saw this last night. You're probably going to hear about things with my dad for a while, because it's where God is working with me. It's where I am at this point. Friday night, I was with dad and kind of developed a little bit of a pattern before I leave. I take his Bible and I read to him. And his eyes are closed often, sometimes not really expressing. It looks troubled sometimes, whatever. So I'm reading. I just read him and these verses that are underlined in his Bible. And what I'll do is I'll pause as I get close to the end of like a verse, and he will finish it. Friday night, one of the verses was, I will never leave you. And I stopped, and from dad just came, and I will never forsake you. I want that for me. On my bed, when I'm struggling with dementia, I want that coming out. In your bed, wherever you are, when you're 88, I want that coming out of you. Wherever our children are at 88, I want that coming out of them. But that will happen as we trust God to sow the word of God today so that the Spirit of God can bring that Tehillah of praise spontaneously out. And who knows what circumstances we're going to encounter. So let's sing. Mary's going to come. Zach's going to come. Mom's going to... Keyboard? Yeah? Good. And let's enjoy some Tehillah praise.